Welcome to the Wild History Podcast. I'm your host, Max Hamill. And with me, as always, is the wonderful...
Patty! Hi, everybody!
Hello! And we're grateful to have you here. So today, we're covering Zheng He. Now,
are
I do...
Sure you're pronouncing
that? No idea. I do not speak Chinese. Nor do I speak 14th century Cantonese, Mandarin, or any of it.
Me either. But that's probably pretty close. Just looking at how it's spelled there. Really.
Zheng He.
Yeah, whatever.
So,
yeah. I'm sure somebody out there knows.
We talked about him in the previous episode.
That's right.
We were talking about why he wasn't part of... He is and he isn't part of the Golden Age of Exploration. And why it's just a bunch of old, dead white dudes.
Yeah.
That was supposed to make you laugh. It didn't. I'm not very funny. Shame on me.
No, you're fine.
Anyways, Zheng He, he was a very good explorer, and he definitely earned his the pages in the Annals of History, but he wasn't part of the Golden Age of Exploration for a bunch of reasons.
Yeah.
But before we delve into those reasons, I have to talk about...
The wine we're drinking today.
Bourgogne. I'm going to Appellation Bourgogne Contrôlée. It's the Pinot Noir 2016 by Nicolas Potel, Nuit Saint-Georges, Côte d'Or, France.
Well, let's have a sip of that and see,
it's pretty good.
See how it is.
So, it's a red Burgundy.
Mm.
It's quite good.
Speaking of Burgundy and Chinese, the Chinese are buying up tons of it right now.
The wine or the country?
The wine. China has discovered wine. And they're buying up, like, tons of Bordeaux and Burgundies.
Huh.
Yeah.
Lucky France.
They got a billion customers. Lucky China,
China.
Lucky everyone.
Like, what is this? Oh, it's delicious.
The price, yeah.
So.
This is pretty good.
It's pretty good. I enjoyed it. I cracked it open a couple days before we were doing this episode. And it had everything a Pinot Noir needs to be. Is about $18 a bottle, and and it tastes like $30 a bottle.
Yeah, it's not bad. Where'd you get it?
Trail Liquors.
Oh, did you really? Okay.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Trail Liquors, good for you.
Is it in Invergrove?
It's in Egan.
Egan, okay.
It's one of those places that you walk in and go, I shouldn't be here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because every time I'm in there, I'm leaving work. So I'm just thinking, I'm tired. And I was like, I should probably just get home. And I'm exhausted. And, beer.
Little distraction.
Beer, wine, whiskey, all of it. So it's like Coco Bon. Coco Bon, $7 wine.
Yeah.
$6 wine. But it tastes like 10, 12, 15 maybe. Yeah. Whereas this is, it tastes like $30 wine. I like it a lot. It would be such a shame if the makers... in France, sponsored our podcast. This has been a running joke because we haven't gotten a sponsor yet. We're just waiting for someone to go, hey, these guys
like our wine.
We like our wine. Please send us a case of it.
Yeah.
Different flavors.
That's all we ask.
I know what I really like is 19 Crimes or Apothic. Those would be my favorite table wines.
Yeah, you did like those, didn't you?
I did.
All right, we should talk about our guy now.
We should talk about a guy. So, 14th century China. Those of you who don't know, the Mongols had invaded China in the past couple centuries, in the 13th century, and were being pushed out by a Chinese force. And I don't know the whole story, to be perfectly honest. But at the time...
Those were the times
to be a Mongolian warrior. Those were the days! And at the time, just before this... The Mongolians had the largest continuous land empire in the world.
Wow.
In the world. So he was born, though, Ma Sanbon, Sanbao, in 1371 in the Kunming, Yunnan province, China. He was born to the Hui family. Now, Hui means Chinese Muslims. And he was descended from the first Mongolian governor of the province. In fact, his name Ma is a Cantonization, I believe, of Muhammad. So his name was Muhammad Sambal.
Okay.
And it was the last to be the last of the Mongolian holdouts in China. Now, the Ming dynasty had slowly but surely conquered the Mongolian Huan dynasty. And the Ming army finally conquered Yunnan, and they enslaved and, trigger warning, castrated the boys.
Ew.
Very common thing to do all over the world in that time. People were pretty barbaric back then, all over. These eunuchs became orderlies of the army. Now, Ma was one of them, and he grew in prominence as a diplomatic and skilled officer, and he made many friends in court. Now, a quick civil war occurred between the current emperor, Jianwen, and his uncle, Yongle, which found this civil war found China under a new leader, Yongle. And he won the war, and he wanted to express China's growing military and naval power. So under him, Ma He, because he became Ma He, rose into power under Yongle and was given the name Zheng He. Ma, who is now Zheng He, became the commander of a great fleet. Treasure ships, trading ships, warships, support vessels. The fleet was massive for its time. It was 208 vessels to show the glory of China. Now, first he went to Vietnam, exchanged gifts with the king there. Now, imagine. Now, I actually want you to stop and think about this.
Okay.
In a time period, it's the 12th century. Okay. Just people, you know, the average, things are getting better for the average person, except you live in the Middle East, because the Mongols came in there and destroyed everything. I mean, they've literally killed so many people in the Middle East. You can actually see it, the carbon dioxide go down and oxygen go up.
Ew.
That's how many people in the tree rings. That's how many people the Mongolians killed. Jeez. It actually slowed down global warming.
Okay.
Genghis Khan killed 1% of the people in the world. I think one of his descendants killed, I think his great grandson killed like 5%.
Oh my God.
These guys are pretty bad.
Why do they want to, okay, I don't get it. Why do you want to wipe out that many people?
It's different culture. Like, different culture. They thought they were superior to everyone. They thought if you lived in a stable environment, if you weren't nomadic,
mm-hmm.
you were inferior to them.
Mm-hmm.
If you were taller than a wagon wheel, you had to be beheaded.
Whoa.
Wagon wheels are pretty tall, though. They're not like car wheels today.
Okay.
Yeah, no, they're pretty big. But
jeez, I'm glad I didn't
different culture.
That.
Different culture.
Glad I
most people are taller than a wagon wheel. So, yeah, and the fleet was mad. I'm not a cultural relativist, mind you, but you kind of have to when studying these groups. But yeah, they're pretty bad dudes. In fact, we should do. There's a Dan Carlin's Hardcore History. He goes over Wrath of the Khans.
Okay.
It's pretty intense, though. If you're not up for pretty grisly stuff, don't listen to it.
Okay.
I already know all about it because I'm a history nut, but I would listen. I respect Dan Carlin as a history podcasting peer.
Okay.
He's got the market cornered, though.
But he's not drinking
Bourgogne.
Bourgogne. Pinot Noir, like we are. Bourgogne. Maybe he is, I don't know.
No, he's not. How dare he? He can't corner that market, too.
Mm-mm.
The fleet's massive, and it's beautiful, and it's glistening. It was made to impress other people. So if you're familiar with Chinese aesthetics of the time, you can just imagine what it's like. So he went to Vietnam, exchanged gifts with the king there. Then he went to Java, which is a real island.
And where our coffee comes from. Well, some coffee.
Some coffee comes from there.
Best coffee.
Thailand. And he went to Calicut, India, just like?
I don't know.
Vasco da Gama.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was a big trading center at the time. No surprise.
Yeah.
So he comes back. He's heralded as a great hero, which he should be. Second voyage, he goes to Calicut and the surrounding area. He's betrayed by the another king, not the king of Calicut, but somewhere in the surrounding area now. It's in Sri Lanka, and he was by King Algon Akakara of Ceylon, modern-day Sri Lanka.
Mm-hmm.
He took the king back in chains and made him apologize to the Yongle Emperor.
Wait, why did he take him back in chains?
Because he was betrayed by him.
Oh, how did he betray him?
I believe he ordered a sneak attack on him or something.
Ooh, yeah, you don't want to be doing that.
I should have read deeper into the subject.
Yeah, you should have read that part. Oh, so he betrayed him. We don't know how.
Just Google it. You're on your phones.
We're
making change to apologize, which he did do.
Wow, that's all he made him do was apologize? He didn't, like, chop his head off or anything?
Well, I'm pretty sure there was head choppery, but... Oh, okay. Like I said, I didn't read farther into the incident.
Yeah.
I read pretty brief overviews to get a general idea of the subject, then compile it, interpret it, kind of like a high school report.
Yeah, I understand.
I thought I'd never use those. Ah, boy, I was wrong. Pay attention and cool is good.
Sort of a high-level overview of this
guy. High-level overview of this guy, yeah. So his subsequent voyages took him to as far as modern-day Kenya and Somalia. That's pretty cool, isn't it? From China to Kenya and Somalia.
Yeah.
Now, his seventh voyage was in 1341. That was his last. He died at sea, and he's still heralded as one of the great maritime explorers in history.
Cool.
So here's what he did for China.
Okay.
He opened up trade routes. And had a better relationship with other Muslim countries.
Cool.
That's what he did.
Good for him.
Now, he didn't do anything permanent for the larger world, which is why he's not as well known outside of China. Inside China, he's well known.
Okay.
But there's a conspiracy theory about him, too.
What's that?
He made it to America.
Really?
Now, why there's no real evidence of
this.
We're
in America.
Now,
California.
Here's what I heard. A San Francisco guy found a Chinese anchor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a square.
Mm-hmm.
And threw it up on the desk of an archaeologist. Said, "What's that?" "Oh, that's an ancient Chinese anchor."
Hmm.
And it made people think that Zheng He was there. And they said they thought he got here.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought he... went to California and was repulsed by the local natives in the region that were particularly poor. I don't remember the whole story, but there's no evidence of this. Because if you think they found one anchor there, you'd find evidence in Hawaii.
Yeah.
The other islands in the area. You don't go, because the Atlantic is one thing, but the Pacific is much bigger.
Yeah.
And there's also islands. There'd be other incidents of, oh yeah, there was this Chinese guy there.
Yeah.
In Tahiti, there'd be oh yeah, there was this... massive 208. And on top of that, I know a sailor, and he said, here's what makes sense to me. It's more likely a trader went to China, needed ballasts, took on this old-fashioned anchors, threw them in the... Bills, you don't know, a ballast is weight. You need weight in your ship, otherwise it's going to keel over. And you need weights in different places to make sure it's even, otherwise it'll be lopsided and everything will be wrong. So he probably just threw these weights overboard. Someone found them 50 years later and go, oh, evidence.
Probably.
So, I mean, it's in court, it'd be circumstantial evidence.
Okay.
Circumstantial.
Well, that makes sense to me. And if he was repulsed by poor people in San Francisco, those were probably the last poor people in San Francisco because it's pretty rich.
Yeah. Well, I don't believe that story either because... San Francisco has tons of flora and fauna, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
So why would the native people in there, I mean, not be able to take advantage of that?
Oh, for sure.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Because the story I heard that they were starving, I was like, are you...
Yeah,
what?
I don't think so.
Every incident I've read of Native Americans by Europeans were always that they were healthy until we tried to make them...
The ones on the West Coast did pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, San Francisco is very temperate year-round.
Exactly. It doesn't make any sense.
You don't freeze. You don't get too hot. I used to live there, so I know. There's plenty of fish in the bay. They can fish. All kinds of everything grows there. So, yeah, I think they would.
Allow me to put on my skepticals.
Right.
I wear glasses, for those of you who don't know. A nerd that wears glasses, what a surprise.
Shocking.
So, I found out something.
What's that?
I may have been wrong about Tom Quick.
Really?
He may not have been one of the first serial killers.
Really?
Well, there were other serial killers. He may or may not have been.
I'll bet there's been serial killers forever, because some people are just born with a screw loose.
Oh, lots of screw looses. But everyone points to Herman Webster Mudgett, a.k.a. H.H. Holmes. Yeah. That's not true. But apparently it's these two guys called the Harp Brothers.
Okay.
So I'm just mentioning this. We're not going to do an episode on these guys, but I just thought I'd bring it up real quickly before I figure out on the spot who our next person's going to be. So the Harp brothers, look them up. They're a pair of brothers that were serial killers, and we're in America, colonial America, like Tom Quick.
We'll have to dig into that
at some point. I'm not comfortable doing a whole episode on them. So, who are we going to do next, Patty?
No idea.
No idea? No. Neither do I.
We'll figure it out as we go along. I mean, there's just so many great people.
Well, here's what I was thinking about doing. I've had fun doing this Explorers part.
Yeah.
Here's what I think we should do.
Okay.
There are lots of lost expeditions, lost explorers. That might be a new segment.
Yes.
So next thing I think we do is the Franklin Expedition.
Okay.
For those of you who don't know, the Franklin Expedition is a very famous expedition. People don't really know. We know now what happened. But the average person who knows about it doesn't. You have to kind of dig deep to find out about it. So it was a great mystery at the time. In the 1840s, 9 men and 2 ships, the Erebus and the Terror, mm-hmm. which are 2 ships that have been around the world several times,
yeah.
went into the Arctic looking for the Northwest Passage, something we've talked about before, and were never seen from again.
Ooh.
Bum, bum, bum. There's actually a decent historical fiction show called The Terror. To be honest, it's brilliant. It's a brilliant, well-done show. And it expresses the bleak, oppressive horror of Arctic exploration. And while it does have some definitely fictional parts in it, it's really well done. It's pretty dark. If you don't want to, if you don't listen for that kind of stuff, don't watch it. But if you love great television, enjoy it. So I think we're going to do that next time.
Okay, cool. For me, Arctic exploration is going to my mailbox in January. What? We live in Minnesota.
Oh, I got super confused. Yeah, no, this last year was absolutely terrifying. I actually was waiting for a polar bear to eat me. Negative 50? No, thank you.
Yeah, it was this year was horrible. So seriously, like going to the mailbox was enough for me.
Yeah, well, actually, I had to go outside for part of my job. I have to go outside. It was negative 50 plus wind chill or something like that.
I think it was negative 34.
No, it was negative 30 plus wind chill.
Yeah, and the wind chill made it minus
50. Minus 50. And one of my coworkers was like, I'm going to go out there with just my regular coat we all basically, we're going to hold you down and wrap a hat and gloves on you and facial. I mean, it was bad. And then we got outside. He thought, okay, no, I'm glad I listened to everybody.
This is horrible.
It was just horrible. Our lives were actually in danger for a few minutes.
Yes.
Our lives were actually in danger, and we were going, uh-oh.
Yes, this weather is trying to put you down. I mean, yeah. It really is.
But we're free. It
was 50
happy
today.
Spring,
it's
happy March.
Madness. And March Madness doesn't mean just basketball in Minnesota. It means, like, we can go outside.
Yeah, it does.
Which is a good thing.
So, all right. Thank you guys for listening to my incoherent ramblings. About Zheng He. So I look forward to doing the episode about the Franklin expedition.
Yay.
And remember, if it wasn't for history,
we wouldn't be here.
Thanks again. See you in the next episode.